passe un volant pas possible. Un artiste, super, encore un but sensationnel. That's a brilliant bit of follow-up play by Mahé. Oh my goodness me, what a shot.
Sagolsen. Sagolsen setter det hen. Han setter den. De I semifinale.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Handball Hour Morning Club. Chris O'Reilly here with you, and it's a special one as we're banging out two this week. We're going to make this one available for all of you. A little teaser on what you can enjoy week in, week out on our Patreon, patreon.com/Handball Hour. We've got Sascha Staat, German commentator and journalist, host of the Kreisab podcast, joining us for a chat about the Bundesliga, last week's German Cup Final Four, and also the German chances in the Champions League next week. So let's get started. Sascha Staat, you're very welcome back to the podcast to chat all things happening in Germany, a lot happening in the handball world at the moment over in Deutschland. How are you doing?
I'm quite fine, but also quite tired. But yeah, we all do it because of the love for handball, so it's all right for me.
That's right. And well, we're hitting the business end of the season, which is I think a great time to check in before things go absolutely wild. But we'll begin our chat looking back at the Reva Final Four, where Magdeburg ended a run of final defeats to pick up the title, beating Melsungen on Sunday. Seems to be a fair few takeaways from that, but before I hit you with a few specific things, what's your reflection on that weekend?
My reflection is that I talked to a lot of people who were in Cologne, and yeah, that Magdeburg is just, it's just the best team in world handball right now. The best club team. That doesn't mean that they will win all the games. That doesn't mean that they will defend their Champions League title. That doesn't mean that they will win the German Championship. I don't know when you will air the show. I hope soon, because after the weekend it might be over. But still,
it'll be today. Don't worry.
It's all right. So I think that's probably the takeaway, the biggest one, that this team is so dominant. I mean, they lose their number one goalkeeper and still they're able to put in their number two, who's a very good keeper, by the way, Sergei Hernandez from Spain. But when he joined there, I think Bennett Wiegert wasn't 100% convinced that he could be the solution. And still, Nicola Portner, he improved, especially in the Champions League and towards the end of last season. And Sergei Hernandez, every time he has stepped in during this season, he has shown that he's a very, very good keeper. And that was the same on the weekend. And, you know, Melsungen came into the final after defeating Flensburg. And you could imagine that they are like really pumped and they really want to win it. And what happens? They get crushed by 11. And that shows everything about Magdeburg. I don't think it shows so much about Melsungen. It shows that Magdeburg is so dominant. It's insane. It's really insane. They will lose Janus Marason after the season, but I think they will be able to replace him in a decent way, like they did the last few years when they lost veterans. Marco Beziak left the team. He was a key player for them, I think, in the locker room. And still, no problem. Felix Klar joins and the team is even better than it used to be. It's really crazy. The way they play handball is really impressive. And that's what I like about the team.
You mentioned Sergei Hernandez there. 32 saves in total over the weekend, which is absolutely remarkable. And coming in to take over like that on the end of a week, we touched on the podcast last week about Nicola Portner's failed doping test. The distraction itself, you would maybe understand if things didn't go so well for Magdeburg, that, you know, okay, this happened and it's a huge blow for them if Hernandez couldn't have produced the weekend he did. But Magdeburg simply didn't allow that to be a distraction or something to bring them down for that weekend. And what I find really remarkable about this is, although Magdeburg have only in the last, now this is maybe the third season where they've They've hit the heights they have now, as in winning the Bundesliga 2 seasons ago, the Champions League last season, potentially everything this season. But a few people I saw online and also on our Discord for the Handball Hour suggesting that maybe it's getting a bit boring already, which I find remarkable. It's not like they're Manchester City or the likes. It's a team which are really still kind of fresh at the very, very top. You know, maybe because they won that final by 11, that a few people are jumping the gun that way. But I assume you're not bored by this brilliance of the team.
No, and I think it's a different brilliance compared to the domination of Kiel in the past, because Kiel used a lot of big, strong players who were already good players when they joined the team. And Magdeburg, like with Felix Klar, okay, he's a very world-class player, there's no doubt about it. But I don't think that he's already at his peak, you know? He has still 2 or 3 years left to develop. Then he will reach his peak and then he can stay at the peak like 4 or 5 more years. I don't know. But that's the difference. Also, Gisli Christiansson, when he came over from Kiel after his shoulder injury, Magdeburg was patient with him. He was able to develop into the player he is today. That's the same with other players they have. Look at their left wings, for example. Lucas Mertens and Matthias Muscher, they're not the best left wings in the world. But they team up to be a very good tandem on the left wing for Magdeburg. And I doubt that they will sign some other big name players on that position in the future, because they like to build from within. I mean, both of them, they joined at a very young age. Mertens came from another team, and Matthias Muscher obviously is a kid of Magdeburg, a kid of the city. But still, I don't think I can be bored right now. Maybe in 5 years, when they win all the titles again, I will be bored a little bit. But I think it's really impressive. And what impresses me the most is actually they don't do it with the most money of all the teams in Germany, because there are other clubs who have more money. Obviously, they earn more money by winning the Champions League, by winning the Superglobe 3 times. So that impresses me. And when you look back 3 years ago, they were able to win all competitions until the very last day. They stayed in all competitions. Last year, they didn't win the league, but they were able to win the league on the last match day. They won the Champions League. They lost the cup final, but they were able to be in that cup final. The year before, they won the German championship. They lost the cup final and they lost the final of the European League. The year before, they won the European League. So they are competing in all competitions. It's really insane, and hats off, because you have to stay hungry all the time. But they have worked so hard and they've played so well that they got such a confidence, because I still remember last year when they came back to the Champions League after a long time, they struggled in the beginning. They also struggled at the beginning of this Champions League campaign. And they ended up winning their group. It's just insane. It's insane.
A word on Melsungen, who, as you said, it maybe didn't say so much about them, that final. It feels like they had as close to a perfect game as they were ever going to have in that semi-final, though, against Flensburg, which I found incredibly impressive. It left me doubting whether they could replicate it on Sunday. Turned out they couldn't. Although they still kept themselves in the game despite not playing at their very best for the first half. But that semi-final against Flensburg gives a lot of hope for this team that have shown a new face this year, and also have given a sign of faith in Roberto Garcia Parondo extending his contract until 2027.
Yeah, from what I've heard, there are some players who don't like to to play with Parondo, but I think there are lot more players who like to play with him, and I think they will sign some other big names in the future. They will lose Ivan Martinovic. That will be a huge blow for them, because I think he's a fantastic player on the right back position. I would say that when you look at the season of Melsungen, and on Thursday they won easily at Rhein-Neckar Löwen, although everybody's winning there, by the way, but that's a different matter. But what is Melsungen doing this year? They are basically fulfilling our expectations. They're 5th in the league right now, and I think before the start of the season we would have said, okay, probably they will finish 5th, because the four teams at the top, they're set, and maybe they're on the same level as Rhein-Neckar Löwen, Hannover, and maybe even Gummersbach, but they're a level higher. So I think it's a very good season for them, and they can build on that in the future. And next year they will play in the European League. We will have to see, but they have a good experience roster, but they also have some younger, talented players. And I also think that, yeah, when you work a longer time with the same coach, I think that's a good thing to do. I like that they continue with Parondo, because changing coaches all the time won't solve all of your problems. Usually it comes from within the team that maybe you have to change two or three players. It's not always about the coach.
And yeah, it's nice to see that kind of the running joke of the Bundesliga for the last half decade or so are kind of getting it together at last. So yeah, good news for them despite that final loss. We haven't mentioned Berlin yet, who lost that semi-final to Magdeburg. You hinted there earlier that this title run could be over by the end of this weekend. Füchse Berlin playing at home against Kiel, and Flensburg at home against Magdeburg. What way do you see this run-in going now with the final six or seven games? Berlin at the moment on top, but Magdeburg with a game in hand, and winning that game in hand would put them 1 point ahead. It's an exciting title race. It feels like both teams will stay neck and neck until the end, but there's maybe some hints that Berlin are cracking just a little bit.
I've seen a dip in form a little bit at Füchse Berlin, but I think that they still have a chance to win the title, and this weekend will probably be the key, because it's not easy to play at Flensburg for Magdeburg. It's a tough game. And even though Flensburg didn't have the best performance last weekend in Cologne, I still think that at one game, they can beat them. You know, Magdeburg is not unbeatable. They lost at Hanover as well. So it's not like we are imagining that something really strange will happen. And Berlin can beat THW Kiel, but they can also lose against them. So this weekend will be amazing to watch, actually. It will be great to follow, and that's why it's the best league in the world, because I think it's the most entertaining as well, because it's very hard to predict who will win the games. You know, it could go either way. I don't know what to predict for tonight. I don't know what to predict for Sunday, even though those two teams are well ahead of the others. And still, it's almost impossible to say how the games will develop. And we don't know what Magdeburg will do once maybe Sergei Hernandez doesn't have a great game. Maybe he has a solid game, but they need a spark in net. And then Agafors will come in and he won't perform. We don't know that. So it might be crucial. I think the team is highly motivated. They're absolutely 100% behind Nicola Portner. But it's hard to predict. I got the feeling that both teams will still lose points until the end of the season. And at the end of the season, Magdeburg will be on top by a point.
Okay, so basically things will change, but nothing will change in the end.
That's my feeling. And that's great for the sport, because we had many years where before the start of the season, we knew that Kiel would win the title. That's boring. You know, because you asked earlier, is it boring that Magdeburg is winning all the title? No, it's not, because the way they win them is dramatic. Well, except for the final against Meldung. But if you look at the other games, you know, like the Champions League Final Four last year, that was crazy as well. And next week, the Champions League is going to happen again. And I feel blessed that I love the sport, because Kielce against Magdeburg, wow, it's really entertaining.
Yeah, I want to ask you about the international sides in just a moment, but before we leave the Bundesliga, the relegation battle is something that we've also been keeping tabs on throughout the season, and Eisenach have managed to open up a 5-point lead over Bergischer HC. 6 games left, 5 points ahead. Have they done enough to stay alive, you reckon?
I think they need one more win to be sure. I think they will get it. They might even get it on the weekend against Stuttgart. Bergischer HC made a big mistake, if you ask me, because they lost by 11 in Leipzig before the Olympic qualification tournament, if I remember correctly. And then they had a big meeting with the players and the coach, and most of the players, actually, they didn't want to continue with the coach, but the boards of the club, they preferred to continue with Jamal Naji. He's a young coach. He doesn't have any sort of experience when it comes to the fight against relegation with a team which actually was supposed to finish, I don't know, between 9 and 14 maybe, which is absolutely fine for a club like that. But from one moment to another, the things didn't work out anymore. I think they now lost 12 or 13 games in a row, which is like really, really insane. And they will play at Baling tonight. And it's their last chance. Now they fired the coach before this game, which is way too late. I don't get it. If you want to fire the coach, you should have done it earlier after losing by 11 in Leipzig. I mean, seriously, this team is way too good to be relegated. This team should not be relegated. They have twice as much money as Eisenach has. And actually, money scores in the end. Yeah, but it didn't help so far. They will go down to the second division, and they're playing in three different arenas right now. So nobody from Düsseldorf will be interested if they go to the second division and they play against Dessau and Großwaldstadt next season. Nobody will care. So they have to find a solution when it comes to the arena. I'm curious to see who will be the permanent new head coach, because now Arno Gunnarsson, the former right wing from Iceland, is now coaching the team. He was coaching the under 17 team right now, and now he's the head coach together with two other guys. Will be very interesting to see. I don't know which game to watch tonight. So
depends if you like misery or a spectacular handball. I don't know.
it's really interesting, and they made a mistake. As simple as that, that happens in sport. I think they were a little bit stubborn, too stubborn actually, because I think if they had changed the coach like 6 weeks earlier, they still might be like 1 point behind Eisenach.
Eisenach, as you said, playing Stuttgart this weekend, Lemgo and Balingen to come after that. If things go their way, they could even jump up to maybe 14th, which I think would be either, no matter what happens, as long as they stay alive, it will be a success this season. What do you put that down to? Because, you know, I think back to the beginning of the season, and basically nobody gave them any chance before that first game.
There's two things. The first thing is courage, passion, fire. They're absolutely on fire every single game. They believe in themselves, and they just don't say it. They actually do it, and that's a huge difference. You know, you can go to the mix zone or wherever, you can talk to the journalists, to the media, and say, we believe that we will win the next game. You can always say so, but you got to feel it. And I think they feel it. They feel that even if they're down in the first half against the team they might beat, they are able to beat them because they've done it enough times during the season. And that gives them the belief they need to beat Bergischer HC, which they did away from home like a few weeks ago and stuff like that. And the second thing is the coach, Michael Kaufmann from Switzerland, for me is the coach of the year by far, because what he has done is really crazy. He's playing a different kind of defense, a 3-3 defense, which causes a lot of stress for the opponents. That's the first thing. When they played at Bergischer HC, they played without a line player in attack. They had four players in the backcourt. So Bergischer HC didn't know what to do on defense. And this is really hats off. I mean, this is so courageous. I have a lot of respect for Micha Kaufmann, because if it doesn't work out, we are all laughing about it. You know, we say, whoa, what the hell is he doing? But it's the only chance they got. And today, the German national team, they called a new roster for the next games. And Grigic, a young 20-year-old player from Eisenach, is on the roster for the first time. And it's because he's playing well. So it will be very interesting to see what they will do next season in case they stay in, because they will lose Manuel Zehnder, the Swiss playmaker. He will go back to Erlangen, but eventually he might end up at the Rhein-Neckar Löwen, because Juri Knorr might already go to Aalborg this summer. But still, it's really, really great for the sport of handball, that something different is working out, and that we have a story. And they had 1,000 fans going with a train, a separate train going to Leipzig. The team won there, although they were down by 5, they still won the game, and the team went back home, not with the team bus, but with the train and the fans. That's amazing.
To have something like that, and it says a lot about the community they've built in the club. And if you have that, then it's a great foundation to build on. And hopefully they continue to do that, should they, and let's say, assuming they survive this season. You mentioned the international games. Big week coming up next week, both in the men's and women's Champions League. In the German aspect, you've got Magdeburg facing Kielce, Kiel at Montpellier, and Bietigheim going to Odense over the next couple of weeks as well, which the fact that Bietigheim are in this stage, I think, was one of the surprise results of the playoff, but also good to see. What do you reckon about the three German teams' chances of making it to the final fours?
I think the best chance is the chance Kiel has against Montpellier. I think they're the superior team, which doesn't mean that they will beat them, because playing in Montpellier is not easy. But Montpellier, it seems, is already focusing on the Champions League right now, because I think in the French league, Nantes is on the best way to secure the second spot behind PSG. So I guess that Montpellier won't be in the Champions League next season, and I think they really want to show that they belong there. So that might be by upsetting Kiel, which doesn't have a good season in the Bundesliga. It's the worst season in a long time, actually. And I'm not convinced by the way they play handball. I don't like it. That's the difference to Magdeburg, for example. Winning can be boring, but it's not boring in the case of Magdeburg. And Kiel usually win using their power, their physical strength. And when all those veterans get a little too old, that doesn't work anymore. And they need to bring in fresh blood. They will bring in Emil Madsen from GOG. And I think that will help them. But right now, I think chances are like 65-35 for Kiel to advance. With Magdeburg, it's really different, because we all know Talant Dushebaev and this Kielce team. They are playing to win this Champions League title. That's their main goal every single season. Talant Dushebaev can rely on Andreas Wolf right now because he's back. He can rely on Alex Dushebaev because he's back. Dylan Nahi just extended his contract. I think they're in a good mood. They played very well in the playoffs against GOG. This one is really hard to predict. I think it's more on the first leg than on the second leg, actually. If Magdeburg is able to come back home with a good result, they will go to the Champions League Final Four. And then when it comes to Bietigheim, I was in Ludwigsburg for the first leg against IKAS in the playoffs. And I was thinking, oh, that was a sluggish game, so to say. Very error-prone, but still they managed to win by 2. And before the return, like, I was quite sure that IKAS would advance to the quarterfinals, because I had seen IKAS in Metz this season. They were the only team to win in Metz this year in the Champions League. And so I was quite sure that they will just run over Bietigheim, and they didn't. So this is why this time in the quarterfinal, I'm not sure if Odense will go through. They are better than IKAS, and they're also better than Bietigheim on paper. But Bietigheim is like really motivated right now, because nobody thought that they will go to the quarterfinal. In the end, I think Odense will go to the Final Four, but still, this might be closer than most people expect.
These are all four quarterfinals in the Women's Champions League. They offer the possibility of some mayhem, which in one or two games happens for sure. You never quite know what way they're going to turn. The home and away legs definitely seem to matter less to some teams than they do in the men's side. But yeah, exciting weeks to come. Thanks so much, Sasha, for your time this Friday afternoon. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
We will do. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Sasha. Thanks again to Sasha Stott, and thank you all for listening to this bonus Morning Club episode on a Friday. We'll be back next week with some Champions League specials, quarterfinals of both the men's and women's competitions coming up. So we got some interviews with players and some previews from both competitions. So stick with us and make sure to follow us on patreon.com/handballhour if you haven't already. Until the next time, everyone, take care and goodbye.